I want you to find this Nancy boy.
Jack Mangan.
I want him dead.
Pan.
I want his family dead.
Pan. Hello, fellow Ronin. This is Deadpan number 47. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. the Beast in the East.
Woe to you, O Earth and Sea.
Let me tell you a little bit about what we have going on here this week at Deadpan. I have to quote Dave Mustaine, really, to sum it up, in a quote that maybe 1% of you will recognize. The opening lyrics of the classic Good Morning Black Friday on the album Peace Sells. Hey, I don't feel so good. Something's not right. Something's coming over me.
What the fuck is this?
Really have felt bizarre lately. But anyway, as I've said, I hate diary podcasts. Actually, this one's going to have a little bit of diary in it, and I hope you'll bear with me. Because I need to tell you, let's get caught up to speed since the last episode. This past weekend, went to Farpoint Con. Met a bunch of very cool podcasters, hung out with very cool podcasters, including Mr. T. Morris, Mr. Paul Fisher, and his wife Martha Holloway. Steve Wilson, author of the patio book, Taken Liberty. Thomas from the Command Line podcast, Grail Wolf of the Grail Wolf podcast. And you know, we had a bunch of panels about podcasting, and I said this much in an email after the fact. You know, it was a great con, and Steve Wilson was the organizer. He did a great job. I'm really looking forward to Balticon. You know, it was a great time hanging out with all those guys. But anyway, I said this in an email afterwards when we were talking about it. It was kind of illuminating. Podcasting is still a very underground thing. Podcasting, I think, I don't know the exact numbers, so feel free to correct me, but, you know, I'm not swearing by these as fact. But I believe that 1% of internet users actually ever listen to podcasts. 1%. I think something like 40% has ever even heard of a podcast. Still. So we're part of this underground thing here. I mean, obviously podcasting is a part of all of our lives, but it's not as big as we had thought. And we were kind of surprised because a lot of the podcasting panels at the con were lightly attended. And it seemed, you know, that the sci-fi con-goers were as baffled by podcasts as they are by shampoo and soap. So the point that I'm weaving and dodging all about like a drunken fighter pilot is that podcasting is still pretty underground. It's still a small little niche thing. But you know what, I'm all right with that because I like what we have here. I mean, I'd like it to make me some money, but you know what, if it's going to grow, it will grow in its own time. All right, there's still more babbling to do, sorry. And so then tonight, earlier tonight, it being Wednesday, let me back up, actually. I'd intended to do some recording Tuesday night, but ended up crashing and burning and sleeping most of the night Tuesday. Again, not feeling well. What the fuck is this? But, so with that not feeling well, what the fuck is this, and the need to do a deadpan in mind, I seriously considered ditching my plans for tonight. But you know what? I'd broken such similar plans many times and had to follow through. So I went into New York City to the KGB bar for the sci-fi reading, met up with Dave Moldauer there, I also saw John Joseph Adams there. It's good to see those guys, and it was really fun going to the reading. It was really a cool experience. The authors were, okay, I showed up a little bit late, and I didn't catch the pronunciation of her name. I think it's P.D. Kacek, C-A-C-E-K, and Thomas Monteleone. Both did excellent jobs. Yeah, I'd recommend checking out their stuff. Thomas Monteleone's delivery of his story about a jazz band and trumpet. It was a great story and really well performed. It's a cool thing. Cool time. Tired and screwy as I am now, I'm glad I went. And oh, by the way, if I am bitching a lot, then just skim past it. I'm really not on a sympathy-thon. Just bitching. Because, you know, I said I would quit, but every now and then I still need my fix. Anyway, of course, it's now super late on Wednesday night, later than usual, and here we are, still on intro babble. So it's going to be a short episode, somewhat short. Got lots of haiku from you all, because you all rock. We have the latest episode in Paul Mackey's Really Big Things. So there is some content. We'll do some promos, and I have some jokes and crap to spew out there. I've already... I did get a falafel in me from Mamoon's in the village, which was a good thing. And Wander Wolf and 16 Pieces fans. I ate my falafel as I walked through Washington Square Park. That's right. However, I did not get into any chess games. All right, if you haven't clicked stop and deleted the file yet, then thank you. Let's get on with some other content and the rest of our lives. Over 6 minutes of intro babble. I am truly sorry.
Okay, toothpaste, toilet paper, razors, tampons.
Excuse me, love. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Okay.
Did you know that exercise and tight fitting clothes can cause feminine itch and odor?
No thanks.
Excuse me, ma'am. How'd you like to know the exact moment you're knocked up? You know, that there science is getting close.
Sounds kind of scary, actually. No thanks.
You a question. Does your pad ever feel moist and sticky?
Holy crap, no!
But it has wings!
Visit tagintheseam.com, a podcast for real women.
Hey, this is Rayquel, a.k.a. Sistress, from the Triscast. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Daria is dead, and deadpan is the fucking way.
Really Big Things, a serial, by Paul Mackey. Episode 7, Bison Bull. The barman fussed about, pouring the ale. I don't want no trouble, sir, said the barman as he placed the ale in front of Eric. I just serve the travelers who pass by on the road. Hardly any even know about the door in the cave. Eric took a long pull on the mug. It was damn nice being corporeal for a while. But business was at hand, and Suzette was sitting in a parking lot in the cold. He sighed. There won't be any trouble, Sam, if you just tell me if Jack said he was going anywhere. That's the thing, sir. Just then, the back door swung open and Jack entered the tavern, tightening his belt. Eric, he said with a smile. Then he paled as Eric sprang up and threw him against the door. Why'd you cross us, Jack? Jack sputtered and choked. He was thankful he had just taken care of nature's call moments ago. He gasped, and Eric relented a second, drawing his forearm back off Jack's bruised windpipe. Why would I cross you, Eric? The subject got the pills from me on the second try almost no problem. Big problem, snarled Eric, shoving him back against the door, hard. The subject never got the pills, Jack. Never got 'em, never took 'em. I went to explain the plan, and he walked right on past me. Stop wasting my time. I gave the pills to Jeremy as soon as I could. There were small complications, but he has them. Eric's eyes narrowed. The subject's name is Mike. Who is this Jeremy? Jeremy breathed a ragged sigh and regarded his face in the scratched-up rest area mirror. Should have stuck with alcohol. Nice, predictable alcohol. He splashed cold water on his face with trembling hands. Wait a minute, he thought. He fished the baggie out of his jeans pocket and regarded the blue pill and the green pill. Maybe he just took the wrong one. Or maybe the blue one balances out some of the effects of the red one. Maybe he was supposed to take all three. Jeremy looked at his pale features in the mirror again. Or maybe he'd just drop right into full-scale psychosis. Jeremy shrugged, pulled out the blue pill, and popped it in his mouth, washing it down with a handful of water. Then he left the bathroom and ran in the drizzle back to the car. "Everything come out all right?" asked Chris. "Fine," grumbled Jeremy. "What's next?" the world's largest bison bull, and may I just say you are a ray of sunshine today? Really, it's heartwarming, and I'm glad to see it. I think this drizzle may turn to snow soon. The drizzle did turn to snow, somewhere around Valley City, North Dakota. Chris's knuckles whitened as he gripped the steering wheel a little tighter. Jeremy, meanwhile, was oblivious to Chris's tense driving. They'd passed several commercial mascots over the past hour, and not one of them had shown any sign of life. Jeremy had relaxed to the point that the constant drone of public radio had begun to grate on him. Can we listen to something else? I worked hard to get as apathetic as I am today, and I don't want to ruin it. Well, I burned some podcasts to CD. Whatever, anything.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. Welcome to the podcast edition of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News.
You turned off public radio and put on a recording of public radio? Yeah, said Chris, shrugging. Now, I'm trying to stay out of the ditch, so shut up for a while. As luck would have it, the snowburst subsided as they were pulling into the Jamestown area. We'll be staying in Jamestown tonight, but after the bison we have to go further west. We're a bit late getting into town, so we should probably go directly to the bison. I'm supposed to meet with someone from the town to talk about it around 2. They drove up the hill past some kind of replica frontier town and parked at the end of the street. Here the bison loomed over them. Jeremy looked tentatively up at it. Standing tall and unmoving, the street below the bison was deserted. On a nearby hillside, some kids were doing stunts in the snow on their bikes. Mr. Chris consulted a small notepad. Jeffries from the Historical Society was supposed to meet me here. Jeremy, itching to leave before things started talking, said, Well, looks like we're too late. Take some shots and... Jeremy trailed off as he looked away from the inanimate bison and noticed Chris had walked over to the kids. Jeremy followed and heard one of the kids say, Yeah, there was an old guy hanging around for a while. He left. Chris checked his watch. I really don't have time to track him down. He caught the kid's coat sleeve. You guys know any kind of stories or traditions about this? The buffalo? The kid said dully. I don't know. Sometimes after it snows, we try to peg it in the junk with snowballs.
Oh, God, please don't let him do that.
Jeremy looked up incredulously. The bison bull was looking down now at him. Really? Said Chris. Let's see. The bison shook its head from side to side as the kid pelted the statue right in the equipment with a sloppy wet snowball. Good shot.
Were you even listening to me?
Chris was bending over, trying to scrape up enough slush together to form a ball of his own. Dude, said Jeremy. Don't. Lighten up, Jeremy. It's all in good fun. It's just snow. You want pictures with snow all over its unit, then go right ahead. Oh. Chris's eyebrows shut up. Ooh, good point. Hey, guys, thanks for the fun, but I need to get some pictures here. Jeremy dared a quick peek back up at the bull, which looked back at him relieved, then cartoonishly winked at him.
Thanks.
Chris finished a volley of shots at various settings and clapped Jeremy on the shoulder. Come on, we should be able to get to the last sight before dusk if the weather holds. You have been listening to Really Big Things by Paul Mackey. Music is Chronodermis by Nanochrist. Look them up at www.nanochrist.com. Please send comments and feedback to reallybigthings@gmail.com.
Further proof that Just a Joe rocks? Have a listen.
Now, dead band, haiku.
Words brandished with care. Mind triumphs over matter. Trick of the deadpan.
This is Jeremy from Seattle, and this is my haiku. One-on-one entwined, waves and gold pledges surround, joy becomes us both.
Hello, Jack. I have a little haiku for you by, this haiku is by, who's this by? Oh, me, Alvy, right. Silly me. I go something like this. Deadpan is the way. I'll fucking say it again. Deadpan is the way.
This is Chris from Tempe with a deadpan haiku. Jack's unique podcast. It's an audible treasure. Deadpan brings pleasure.
stolen rap lyrics. Mangan's deadpan is intense. A gift every week.
Hello, Jack. It's Jessica, calling in with my deadpan haiku. Lyrics of Mangan, always flowing through my mind. A treat for deadpan.
Alright, that was all so good. I'm seriously gonna break deadpan and start to cry. It was so good. But you know what? As fantastic as all the haiku have been, there was one deadpan listener whose haiku contribution put her life in danger. She risked her very mortal existence to bring us a deadpan haiku.
Hey, deadpan, it's Andrea. I'm calling in my deadpan haiku I wrote. Jack, I'm going to call back. I'm choking.
Now, deadpan haiku.
Hey, Jack, it's Andrea again. Sorry about that. I'm going to do that again. Sorry. Hey, deadpan, this is Andrea. I'm calling to call in my deadpan haiku from the Farpoint forums. My word association was, and my three words were rap, stimulating, and surprise. So I wrote, hearing Mangan rap is stimulating to me, audio surprise. So, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right, but wait. I want to play too. Here's a little haiku that I have composed for this occasion. Beautiful haiku. Divine language purity. But the syllable rules are fucking stupid and too restrictive.
Arigato.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net. And I need your help. Multiple sclerosis is a chronic, often disabling disease of the central nervous system that generally strikes people between the ages of 20 and 50. Symptoms can range from numbness in the limbs to paralysis or loss of vision. The progress, severity, and specific symptoms of MS in any one person cannot yet be predicted, but advances in research and treatments are giving hope to those affected by the disease. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Armor, helmet, boots, backpack, rifle, the works. I've pledged to raise $1,000 to fight MS. I'm doing my part to help those with MS, but I can't do this alone. I need your help. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis on the front page of their website. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. Don't worry, it's a secure site, and I'm not asking for anyone's paychecks, just whatever you can spare. And every penny goes directly to the MS Society. And from them, to the research to help those with this horrible disease. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk. Now I'm going to walk the walk. And you can be walking right next to me in spirit. Any support you can give would be great. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
Dumb Ass Memories.
Hey, deadpan, it's Andrea. I'm calling with a triple threat dumbass memory. It's three dumbass memories, and they're kind of all related. The first one actually was Hughes. I was talking to him. He was at his office at work, and I was talking on his cell phone. And he was like getting ready to come home and stuff, and he was like rummaging around, collecting all his stuff. And I'm talking to him, and I can hear him, like, you know, getting papers and stuff and moving stuff around. And it's going on for a while, and, you know, he's starting to get frustrated. And I was like, you know, I was like, are you looking for something? And he goes, I can't find my fucking cell phone. Because he was talking to me on it, so. And then I did a very similar thing. I was in my car, and every time I get in my car, I take my cell phone out and put it where I can get to it, and, you know, get my iPod and plug it in and everything. And I was talking on the phone, getting all my stuff together, and I was looking for my cell phone as I was talking on it. I didn't actually say to the person I was talking to, you know, where's my phone, but I was like getting really frustrated looking for it. And that's just funny. And my third one was also cell phone related. I was talking again on my cell phone in my car, and I was talking to someone, and I couldn't hear his voice really well, and I wanted to put the volume of my phone so I could hear him better. And I reached over and started turning the volume in my car radio. That was really funny. Okay, that was it. Have a good day. Bye.
Dumbass memories. Dumbass memories.
Hey, Jack. Big Chowder over at Chowder Radio. Just got done listening to episode 46. And I enjoyed your story about the clueless teenage Renaissance fair encounter where some cute girl was hoping that you'd want to talk to her, but you blew her off and told her that you were getting food or something like that. I can't remember how it went. But speaking of clueless teenage things, that kind of reminded me of something I did. There's a girl that I really wanted to go out with, and I'd been asking her out for a while. She finally agreed to go out with me. And maybe she just ran out of excuses or something. But she said she'd go out with me, so I was going to take her to dinner and a movie, and some friends had recommended a movie that I should go check out when I had a chance, so I figured I'd take her to go see that. Anyway, dinner went great. Good time. Things were going well. It seems like she liked me a little bit. And, well, let me just tell you that the ultimate date killer movie is when you take a Jewish girl to go see Schindler's List. So, especially when she's traced back some heritage, or her family's traced back their family tree to, you know, some family members that were involved in the Holocaust. So that was the last time that I talked to her. She liked the movie, but it was a quiet ride back. And that's when I decided from that point on to always check who I'm taking and what I'm taking them to see. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you for your general amusement. Good show. Love it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Make a little birdhouse in your soul. We made it. It's time for outro babble, and don't worry, I'm not going to do 6 minutes of it. I actually have an unrelated thought that I really like, but you know what? I'm going to save it till next time. So, last week I put out the call and said, hey, let's try to make 1,000 comments, that is. And you guys really kicked ass. Retro did this amazing countdown to get us over 1,000. And as of right now, yeah, it's really late. Oh my god. But I know that 3 of the deadpan ladies are working hard to push us past the all-time record, which was somewhere in the 1300s. Okay, the number I just saw was 1287, which is damn respectable. You guys really rock. It's been a lot of fun commenting like mad this week. And we'll see, maybe the glamorous ladies of Deadpan, which anagrams, of course, to Glod, maybe they'll push us over 1300. I had other stuff to talk about. Oh yeah, check out the new Nine Inch Nails stuff on the MySpace page. Very good stuff. Trent Reznor continues to do good work. Good music. And that's it. The donation button is on the sidebar at jackmangan.com. More importantly, the voicemail number is 206-350-TOMY, 206-350-8664. Used so much great content this week. Your content really makes the show. Please keep it coming. And I don't say that just out of laziness. I from the get-go, I've wanted this show to be an interactive thing where it's, you know, all of you and all of me trading licks and improvising and just cutting it up. But all right, I'm babbling. Sorry. The final song is one I haven't played in a long, long time. It's more of my instrumental guitar noodling, tinkling. No, not tinkling. Something called Candles 2. I'm out of here. Deadpan is the way. You guys are the way. Deadpan for life. You guys are a great bunch of friends. You make it all worthwhile. Peace out. Good night, Deadpan. Good night, Mush. We gone.